Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Virtual Reality Church.
Welcome to our virtual church.
Is there some type of way for a virtual congregation?
You're not a congregation if you don't congregate.
When you combine this access with the loss of the local, I become my own confession, and I go around the world wide web listening for echoes that say back to me what I've already decided to believe.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Something extraordinary happened at the MacArthur Memorial that should give you and I pause and cause us to have some consecrated consideration as to how you and I treat one another. This is Wretched Radio. Saturday, Grace Community Church, Dr. John MacArthur was memorialized for give or take 2 hours and 45 minutes. And predictably, it was spectacular. Predictably, it was excellent. Even the order of service that they distributed, just seriously thick paper, gloriously done, pictures of Dr. John MacArthur. And in the back, isn't this just like John MacArthur? A booklet for every guest about finishing well. Why? Because he wants you to finish well. Everything was done with excellence. The flowers, the music, the Gettys led the worship, the amazing orchestra, about 120-person choir. It was absolutely spectacular and first class, which we simply come to expect from Grace to You and Grace Community Church and all of the ministries of Dr. John MacArthur. But there's something that I think many people didn't expect. There were two individuals who participated in the memorial service that I think a lot of people are scratching their heads over and saying, I'm a wee bit confused, and I would like for us to perhaps use this critical moment in the history of conservative circles to consider ecumenism. You say, what exactly is the ecumenism? It is being able to not just coexist, but to love brothers and sisters with whom we have non-essential disagreements. It can be secondary, tertiary. It just can't be essential. If somebody believes that Buddha is the fourth member of the quadrinity, then that's a problem and we can't have fellowship with you. But there are individuals with whom we can disagree and still have fellowship. Before I share who these two individuals are who participated in the service, please note, they didn't merely attend, they actually participated in the service, which means that Dr. John MacArthur and the MacArthur family invited them. They didn't rush the stage. They didn't just take over the microphone. They were invited. And before I share with you who those two men are, let me ask you one at a time what your thought is about our first individual. Where does the conservative community stand with this man? You're going to recognize his voice.
And so it is that because he became, in your providence, something of the embodiment of Bunyan's great heart, he has been to us a strength when we have often wondered. He has been to us encouragement when we have been tempted to falter. He has been to us a voice in the midst of a confusing world, bringing clarity to our hearts and to our minds.
What was Alistair Begg doing at the John MacArthur Memorial? Were you perhaps under the impression that there was a division amongst friends? Because perhaps they no longer spoke at the same conferences. But did you know that Dr. John MacArthur and Alistair Begg were always friends? They never stopped being friends. They talked behind the scenes. They consulted with one another on different issues, mostly ecclesiological, I suspect. In other words, perhaps the impression that you and I have as to the unity of some of the giants of the faith that perhaps we thought was shattered and destroyed because they were no longer doing things together publicly, maybe needs to be reconsidered. Maybe we need to rethink some of our relationships and some of our associations. May I ask, did you think that there was a divorce between John MacArthur and Alistair Begg? It would be easy to conclude that. I think many have. But at the memorial service, when everybody read their high-quality order of service booklet, Alistair Begg is going to be participating and leading the prayer. And it was a six-minute beauty, by the way. It should have caused all of us to say, hey, wait a second. I know there was a kerfuffle, but was it really one that caused actual division? Now, we need to remember there are times when we can't do things with others simply because it doesn't make sense. Here's an example I think that we can all swim in and grasp. A Presbyterian attending a Baptist church, can they love one another? Yeah. Can they fellowship with one another? Yeah. Could they even take communion together? Yeah. Should they both be members of the same church? It's going to be a little hard. Doesn't mean they hate each other. It doesn't mean that there's division. It just means practically that's just not going to work. You know, the whole paedo baptism and believer's baptism, covenantalism, maybe eschatology, it would just maybe be too difficult to do that together. Ditto, perhaps, when it comes to conferences and events. Just doesn't make sense for whatever reason, but that doesn't mean there isn't unity and fellowship. And so my question to you, to myself, is how am I going to, from here, see those with whom there was a perception that there was a division? And is it possible that maybe we have drawn lines? Now, I'm not saying on issues, when we have disagreements, we draw lines. But there's lines of disagreement and there's lines of division. There's lines of separation. There's lines of, I can't fellowship with you, implying, I think you got some essential doctrine problems. And so my challenge to you, as it is to myself, is to ask, should we maybe use the John MacArthur Memorial as a reset? Perhaps this is the time for conservatives to just step back, take a breath, and consider, did I maybe, possibly, cut somebody out of my life that didn't need to be removed? That maybe doesn't make sense. It is even possible that you don't want to read or listen to them anymore because of whatever the issue is. But it's not because they've violated an essential doctrine. It's not because that they have committed such a theological crime against a cardinal doctrine that we can no longer say, that's my brother. I know that there will be those who immediately will jump on a diatribe like this and say, ah, sell out, that giving in. Getting squishy, maybe just sentimental from the memorial service and feeling all ecumenically ooey gooey. I don't think so. Regardless, despite that critique, maybe to those who might come to that conclusion, and you have every right to do so, maybe I would encourage you more than even the rest of us to think these things through slower, more thoughtfully, being Bereans who consider theological triage, that there's levels of disagreement, but maybe we don't need to act like the cancer culture that devours one another in secular society. that we can be those who disagree, non-essential issues, love one another, and certainly don't trash one another. That we don't eviscerate somebody simply because, that's not the way that I see it, or that's not the way that I would do it. Dr. John MacArthur invited Alistair Begg to participate in his memorial service. I think it's safe to conclude those guys hadn't divided. They hadn't excommunicated one another. They actually loved one another. And maybe, just maybe, to honor the legacy of their friendship, maybe we can go back to having some friendships that we've personally severed when it simply wasn't necessary. But there's another man who appeared at the MacArthur Memorial who should also give us earnest pause. Next on Wretched Radio.
So here's something you don't hear every day. Hey, we're closing our store to serve you better. That sounds a little backwards, right? Well, it actually makes perfect sense in our world. We're permanently shutting down and closing the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. But before you panic, here is why. Our gospel partners have made it possible for us to offer all of our resources digitally for free on Fortis Plus. We're basically going to become the Netflix of biblical resources, except without the subscription forever. It's free. But here's the thing. We've got all this physical inventory just sitting around, and we want to put it in your hands. And so if you want an opportunity to grab books and DVDs and CDs and booklets, you've got this month to do it. Up to 75% off. Think of it like this. This is our going out of business because we're getting into a better and bigger business sale. Head to FortisInstitute.org because, you know, sometimes closing a door means opening a much, much bigger one. FortisInstitute.org.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? Hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. You walk out of the office carrying a label, and you wonder why you feel even heavier than you did before you walked in. That's why Dr. Greg Gifford wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Look, not every struggle is solved with a pill. Not every label tells the entire story. What if addiction's not just a disease? What if your anxiety is not just a chemical imbalance? And what if the diagnosis handed to your child is not the final word? The world gives its answers, but rarely does it ever deal with the heart. Scripture does. Order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at fortisinstitute.org/lies. That's fortisinstitute.org/lies.
Know your church fathers. Polycarp was a disciple of the Apostle John and the Bishop of Smyrna. He was a staunch defender of orthodoxy, combating the Gnostic heresies. Before his death as a martyr, Polycarp proclaimed, 86 years I have served Christ, and he has done me no evil. How could I curse my King who saved me? This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It is amazing how two hearts can be knit together by a common taste for this honey. It's amazing how two hearts can be knit together by a common greediness for this treasure that is more precious than gold.
What in the world was Dr. John Piper doing at the Dr. John MacArthur Memorial? That is the question. This is Wretched Radio. It was Saturday. It was beautiful. It smelled good. The flowers, they were everywhere. The orchestra, the choir, just the organization of the entire massive John MacArthur Memorial event was done masterfully, as we would expect from Grace Community Church. What we didn't expect was to hear this man deliver a 16-minute eulogy for somebody with whom he claims his heart was knit together, sharing a passion for the Word of God, sharing a passion for preaching. John Piper made the claim that he and John MacArthur were knit together and loved one another. May I ask you a question? Were you under the impression that it is currently forbidden to perhaps appreciate, benefit from the ministry of John Piper because these two men were no longer platforming together? Just asking, was that your take? Is that the sense that you got? Because over the last 7 years, actually, I would say, when CRT hit, when the whole woke business hit not just our culture, but also hit the church, that is when we started to see a lot of divisions. And we thought that they were to the level of these people are no longer in the cap. Perhaps we would have given a concession. Well, maybe they're safe, but they aren't amongst us. Now, let's recognize that there are people that are saved that will never do a conference with, and I'll probably never read some of their stuff. But we're talking about Dr. John Piper. Do I have disagreements with Dr. John Piper? Yeah, I do. And last time I heard, he believes in an old earth, the sail hammer position. I don't. I believe that God created it 6 24-hour days, not all that long, thousands of years ago. All right, there's the difference. So I have disagreements with Dr. John Piper. But maybe you were under the impression that the disagreements were so deep that they demanded division, that they were so profound, they were on the level of cardinal doctrine that we can no longer even quote the fellow. Maybe you're a pastor and you've struggled over this. You read a quote from John Piper and you go, wow, that was really good stuff, but better not use it because that would look like an endorsement of John Piper. What you saw at the MacArthur Memorial was an endorsement of John Piper. It's what you saw. It's undeniable. Same thing is true with Alistair Begg. That was an endorsement of those men. You don't invite somebody to participate in your funeral if you think that they're heretics or you think that they simply can contribute nothing to the kingdom and that we can never benefit from them. You wouldn't. Do you know how many choices the MacArthur family had to determine who was going to participate in this memorial service? They could have so many in-house guys. They didn't choose anybody, though, from Master Seminary, Grace to You. I would have personally loved to hear Phil Johnson speak. Would have loved to hear his anecdotes and his praise of a man who was faithful for 56 years. But he didn't participate in the service. John Piper did. Alistair Begg did. By invitation. Y'all, that's got to give us pause. That has to. If we miss this opportunity to just take a breath and just say, okay, we've had a little distance now. We've had a little space. Is it possible that maybe, just maybe, we don't have to at least have the same attitude we once did toward individuals who simply no longer platformed together? Were you also surprised when Ligon Duncan appeared at the Puritan conference that Joel Beakey organized that was presented at Grace Community Church? Because Ligon Duncan, he hasn't spoken on any sort of platform with John MacArthur in a number of years. And then he shows up and he preaches from the very pulpit where John MacArthur preached for 56 years. Did that perplex you? Did you know that Dr. John MacArthur and Mark Dever spoke on the phone regularly? Mark told me monthly. I just saw Mark being interviewed about John MacArthur. And he said they spoke, quote, I think he said all the time. Did you know that? That was happening behind the scenes? It's now public. And if we don't just stop and pause and take a minute and ask ourselves the question, hey, maybe the fracturing that has caused so many separations of friends, that has robbed us of the blessing of men who are stout and sound and stellar, that perhaps this could be the beginning of a healing? Perhaps Dr. John MacArthur has left us a gift, a challenge. This was so unexpected. This wasn't what anybody was ready. It's like, wait, what? We were under a different impression. And now it has been made very clear that the division that perhaps we thought existed didn't. You know, right? They didn't platform together. Okay. But that doesn't mean that their hearts weren't knit together. Wouldn't it be a shame if critical race theory won and had the last say? As the last 5 years, as we've been trying to keep CRT out of the church, which we absolutely must do, that it has succeeded in what it sets out to do, and that is to cause division and pit people against one another, to deconstruct every realm of society in order to rebuild it in the image of Antonio Gramsci and Karl Marx and the French postmodern philosophers. It's designed to divide. And I fear it succeeded. And I don't want to let CRT win. I don't want to get squishy. I don't want to join the Russell Moore and David French camp. That's for sure. But I maybe need to be slower, more thoughtful, ponderous, prayerful, contemplative about whether or not I am willing to cut somebody off before I'm willing to say they're out of here, because they're not. I had a chance before the memorial to speak with Alistair Begg. He's a winsome fellow. He's a very jovial guy. And I said to Al, just want you to know, after the kerfuffle, just want you to know, I disagree with you. And Al Begg said, you know what? I don't know if I, this is my Al Begg impression. I don't know if I agree with me either. And I immediately responded and said, that's the first step to the road to recovery, Al. And we chuckled and we laughed and we enjoyed one another's company. Maybe, just maybe, Dr. John MacArthur, maybe, was telling us it's time for us to enjoy one another's company again. Maybe it's time for us to rethink some issues. You have to do that for you. I have to do that for me. And I know there are going to be some who immediately say, sell out! There we go. We lost another one. Okay. I don't think That's what's happening here. I'm not pulling this diatribe out of thin air. I'm responding to what I saw and heard at the MacArthur Memorial, that individuals I think most of us thought were no longer friends actually were profound friends whose hearts were knit together, who loved one another. So this isn't my mere musing. This is observing what happened, thinking it through on a really long airplane ride back from Los Angeles, and causing myself to be confronted with what I saw and ask the question that I will simply ask of you as well as myself. Is it time for a fresh start and a new beginning of relationships among conservatives? Is it a time for healing? This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Breaker production of Fortis Institute. Joy Reid, she's in the news again. Apparently, she thinks white people can't originally invent anything and have to steal everything from black people, including apparently country music. She made these comments on a podcast literally titled "How Mediocre White Men and Their Fragility Are Destroying America." President Trump is taking a flamethrower to the woke infection rotting our museum, specifically calling out the Smithsonian for being out of control. He's ordering the same process used to gut DEI from universities be applied to museums that have turned from celebrating American achievement into self-flagellation centers. The NFL has been doubling down on virtue signaling while everyone else is running away from it. For a sixth straight season, they'll paint "End Racism and Stop Hate" in the end zones, because obviously nothing fights racism like empty slogans while you're watching millionaires play a game. Speaking of woke casualties, ESPN just spiked Spike Lee's Colin Kaepernick documentary over creative differences. Translation, even ESPN couldn't stomach whatever victim narrative Kaepernick was peddling this time. They started production in 2022, promising a full first-person account of the quarterback who chose activism over athletics. Now it's dead, and Lee can't even talk about it due to the NDAs. California Governor Gavin Newsom has just picked a fight with Trump's DHS and lost. An illegal immigrant driving with a California-issued commercial license, as we've all heard and seen, killed three Americans making that illegal U-turn in Florida. Newsom's team tried to blame Trump because the man entered illegally in 2018, but the DHS assistant secretary dropped the receipts. Trump's administration denied the man's work authorization in 2020. Biden approved it in 2021, and that's when California gave him the license to drive an 80,000-pound death machine. Three Americans are dead because California insists on being a sanctuary for people who shouldn't be here. Americans are terrified that AI is about to make them obsolete, with 71% fearing permanent job displacement, according to new polling. And they're right to worry, not because robots are taking over, but because our leaders are more interested in regulating your pronouns than preparing the workforce for technological change. While China races ahead in AI development, we're arguing about whether ChatGPT uses enough diverse training data. The same poll shows 77% worry AI will create political chaos through deepfakes. Given that our media already manufactures enough fake narratives without artificial help, that ship has long sailed. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at fortisinstitute.org. And don't forget, you can also subscribe to Fortis News, and I would appreciate if you did so, on your favorite podcast app to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Books of the Bible. The gospel is present throughout all of Scripture, beginning with the book of Genesis. Immediately after the fall, God promises a Messiah who will crush the head of the serpent. Even in the Garden of Eden, God was preparing the means of our salvation through Jesus Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Now, I'm really going to push the envelope. This is Wretched Radio, 16 minutes. Dr. John Piper eulogized Dr. John MacArthur. And what would we expect from an orator like John Piper? In fact, when John Piper finished this 16-minute presentation, And he walked off the platform, kind of maneuvering his way through the piano and all of the instruments and all of the stuff that was going on in the platform at the John MacArthur Memorial. I thought, that's one of the finest orators in the country. He just powerful preacher. And I thought, maybe, just maybe, listening to what Dr. John Piper presented about his friend with whom his heart was knit together will be an encouragement to all of us that maybe, just maybe, some people whose hearts are no longer knit to ours perhaps could be.
John MacArthur loved the taste of the honey of heaven. He was greedy for the treasures of the Word of God. He told a few of us some years ago, "I have never ceased to be thrilled with the preparation to preach. I love to discover the truth of God." He loved the quest. It was a fulfillment of Psalm 111:2. "Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them." So he loved the quest, and he loved even more the treasure, the seeking and the finding. It could never be said of John MacArthur, "Always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth." He loved to learn, he loved to arrive, he loved to stand. Most of all, he loved to preach, to herald the treasure that he had found in the Word to other people. A shared joy is a double joy. You see more clearly what you say more clearly. Commending a treasure intensifies the experience of its worth. And so he loved to preach, and he was good at it.
Yep.
Oh my. So clear, so textual, so precise, so zealous, so authentic. Authoritative, practical, relevant, anointed, God made John MacArthur an extraordinary preacher. At every level, I was drawn in. Quest, discovery, treasure, heralding, anointing. 50 years ago, that's what I wanted. John MacArthur was 7 years older than I am. 50 years ago, that seemed like a chasm. And yet, thankfully, the admiration of the younger for the older grew with time into a friendship. The spark flashed in 1988. The year before, he had published The Gospel According to Jesus. John was dismayed that the tribe, the evangelical tribe from which he had come, been nurtured, given him a love, a deep love for the Bible, could also give rise to a theology that, in its understanding of conversion, would say things like, you can receive Jesus as Savior and maybe later make him Lord. To that, John said, page 210, Jesus is Lord. And those who refuse him as Lord cannot use him as Savior. I couldn't put this book down. I was totally compelled by it. It was so relevant to my situation. So in February of 1988, I wrote an article celebrating the book in our little denominational magazine, The Standard. And John told me later that the fact that James Boyce and J.I. Packer would write forewords for the book and that I would celebrate it so publicly awakened him to the fact that suddenly his tribal connections had just enlarged. In a sense, John, to his amazement, found a home in the stirrings of the Reformed resurgence. But for me personally, the gratefulness that he showed to me in the Lordship controversy was more significant than common tribal identity. John befriended me.
And it appears that friendship endured to the end. Did you know that?
And he never stopped befriending me. I doubt that he liked everything I wrote. But when he really liked it, he called me. I couldn't believe it. When he read Spectacular Glory, he called me. When he read Providence, he called me to just effuse. And in those conversations and others, it became clear we have a deep common taste for the honey of heaven. We have a shared greediness for the treasures that are more precious than gold. We love. We manifestly love the Bible, the Word of God. God opened our eyes to see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, and we saw it everywhere in the Bible, and we loved it. We thrill to study it, to uncover the unsearchable riches, and to preach the beauty of what we see. How could we not be friends?
John MacArthur and John Piper were friends to the end. Is it possible, maybe, we could be friends with those that we now know were his friends?
How could our hearts not be knit together? That's what the heart is, right? It's a valuing organ. And when two hearts value the same glory at a similar intensity, they cannot but be united. Three things helped me realize the preciousness of this friendship. Number one, the debt, the enormous debt that we both owe to our fathers. And that was a debt also to the fundamentalist dispensational heritage in which both of our fathers grew up and were nurtured. And John and I would never come to despise that heritage.
That also is interesting, considering our conversation on ecumenism. He was referring to Independent Fundamentalist Baptists. John MacArthur actually attended Bob Jones University. That's an Independent Fundamentalist Baptist denomination. If John Piper is telling the truth, and I have no reason to doubt him, neither he nor John MacArthur ever despised his Independent Fundamentalist Baptist heritage. I think this is yet another signal that would suggest that these people in this camp with whom we don't tend to hang out as much, brothers and sisters, and we can enjoy their fellowship too. Sure, we can keep disagreeing on things like skirts or haircuts or whatever the issue is, but if we're square on the gospel, if all of the essentials are in order, then we, like John Piper and John MacArthur, do not need to despise those brothers and sisters. We, like John Piper and John MacArthur, can actually enjoy them. As Dr. John Piper continues to eulogize John MacArthur, we should feel this challenge. We should feel this. And my desire is not to pontificate and tell all of us with whom we should all associate, but it is to pick up on what I believe were cues that were dropped all over the place at the John MacArthur Memorial. This is Wretched Radio.
You know what I love about coffee? It's not just the first sip in the morning, though that's pretty great. It's that you can count on it. Every morning, it's there, ready to wake you up and get your day started. And that's exactly what we've built with the Fortis Plus app. It's your daily dose of biblical truth, ready when you are, completely free. Think about it. Every day, the culture is throwing lies at you faster than you can dodge them. Your kids are getting discipled by TikTok, your marriage is under attack, and the world is telling you that up is down and wrong is right. But what if every day you had access to voices that would remind you what's actually true? Dr. John Krotz, Pastor Brad Bickney, Dr. Adam Tyson, Jason Lyle, Dr. Andrew Walker, Libby Gloss, Dr. Greg Gifford, and others, all on Fortis Plus, where you're going to find hundreds of hours of content and new stuff being added daily, absolutely free. Look, you're already reaching for your phone first thing in the morning anyway. Why not make it count? Download Fortis Plus right now and start your day with truth instead of trash. It's free, it's biblical, and it's exactly what you need to stand strong in this brave new world. Fortis Plus. At FortisPlus.org. You know what's frustrating? Reading about the Holy Spirit and still not really understanding how He works in your life. I mean, you want to understand, right? But it just feels so unclear. Well, here's something that's going to help. Fortis Institute Fellow Dr. John Krotz is going to be coming to the Wretched Studios on Saturday, August 30th. He's going to be doing 6 sessions on the Holy Spirit. Like, how do you know when the Spirit is leading you? Or how does the Spirit help you deal with sin? What does it mean to be adopted by God? Look, if you've ever wondered about this stuff, this is your chance to finally get clear answers from someone who really knows the Bible. Coming up Saturday, August 30th, 8:30 in the morning is what time it's going to get underway and start. You can be here. You can be a part of it. Absolutely free, but space is limited. So go to FortisInstitute.org/Holy Spirit right now as quick as possible and get signed up because the limited spaces will fill up fast. FortisInstitute.org/Holy Spirit. Trust me. You'll be glad that you went. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Oh, you know the feeling. Every morning you wake up and you wonder, how am I going to navigate this weird, crazy, upside down world with biblical wisdom? We should have that thought every day. And that's exactly why Fortis Institute exists. We're your daily partner in standing firm in biblical truth. From our podcasts with Dr. John Krotz to Pastor Brad Bickney to Libby Glosson, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Greg Gifford, and others, we're bringing together voices you can trust. But this doesn't happen by accident. When you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just giving money, you're discipling young men struggling with pornography. You're equipping pastors in small rural churches. You're preaching the gospel to students who desperately need to hear it. And by the way, make sure that you grab the Fortis Plus app. It's free for everybody and it's packed with hundreds of hours of content right now with more being added daily. Because we believe biblical truths should be accessible to everyone. That's why we need you to help push this to the globe. Our work is nowhere near finished. Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Revelation. God has revealed Himself through many means, including the conscience. God has given each person a conscience so that they can understand His moral standard and their failure to keep that standard. While the conscience can be deadened and twisted by sin, every human being has an innate knowledge of God's law. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Who'da thunk? This is Wretched Radio. Dr. John Piper, surprising many by delivering a heartfelt eulogy to his lifelong friend, Dr. John MacArthur, sharing 3 reasons their hearts were knit together. Reason number 1, their dads and their treasured heritage from the fundamentalist movement. Are you challenged by that? May I ask you, my conservative friend, assuming you're not a, well, actually I'll ask both camps. If you're not a fundamentalist Baptist, Do you treasure your fundamentalist Baptist brothers and sisters? If you are a fundamentalist Baptist listening to this here, not independent fundamentalist Baptist program, can you love those who don't share some of your applications of liberty? Can we, like John Piper and John MacArthur, treasure one another? That was reason number one that they were knit together.
Second, our friendship was thrown into very strong and stark, beautiful relief by the fact that we were so differently wired by way of personality. Many of you, I can tell by your laughter, remember a most vivid illustration of this during a panel discussion in which the panel leader asked us to comment on how we deal with discouragement. And I told the story of sitting on the steps of a guest house crying and my wife coming to me and saying, "Johnny, what's wrong?" And I said, "I don't have any idea." And MacArthur looked at me like I was from another planet. And he said, "I don't have time to be discouraged. I just go on to the next thing to be done." Anyway, it was a wonderful learning moment for all the young pastors out there, because I wanted to say to them, take heart, not everybody's like MacArthur. God uses melancholy pastors. My point is, those differences, and there were others, had the effect of throwing the value and the beauty of our friendship into very sharp relief.
Did you catch that? Mm-hmm. Four words. And there were others. It's all the other stuff that most likely you're thinking about that were distinctives between John Piper and John MacArthur. But did you hear how casually they were treated? Not that they are not issues that lack importance or any sort of gravity, but they're not issues that divided them, because their hearts were knit together in the essentials, the love of the Word and the love of the one the Word reveals. I honestly think, I don't know how intentional this was, but it sure feels like a loud message is being sent. Hey, y'all, conservatives, we can have disagreements on stuff and still love one another.
It was sweet. Finally, the third thing that intensified this friendship was that we were both never satisfied with words, doctrines, ideas, arguments. It was in our DNA to push through words, through doctrines, to reality. Doctrines describe reality. They're not reality. God is reality.
Amen.
Christ is reality.
Amen.
The honey of heaven that we tasted in the Bible was Christ. Taste and see that the Lord is good.
I would love to go off on a diatribe from this diatribe to remind us that theology is good, theology is needed, but theology isn't the end. It is the means. The goal is Jesus Christ. That should be the goal of your Bible study. That should be the goal of every sermon. Not just to learn. That's important, but that's merely the vehicle. The destination is Jesus Christ.
The greediness that we felt for the treasure of the Word was greediness for Christ. There will never cease to be the need for doctrinal battles, and I'm sure if if he were standing here tapping my shoulder, he would say, be sure to say, contend for the faith once for all delivered for the saints.
But is the message, don't be contentious with your brothers and sisters while you contend?
But that commitment to contend together was not the sweetness of the friendship. The sweetness of the friendship was captured by John Owen in these words that I find extraordinarily insightful. He wrote, when the evidence and necessity of the truth abides in us, when not the sense of the words only is in our heads, but the sense of the thing abides in our hearts, when we have communion with God in the doctrine for which we contend, then we shall be garrisoned by the grace of God against all the assaults of men. That was the key. That was the most important thing. That was the sweetness. Communion with God, communion with the living God in the doctrine for which we contend. When the essence of a friendship, commitment to the living God in the doctrine that we contend for, when that is the essence of the friendship, death doesn't end it. Both of us still enjoy communion with God at this moment. And in that sense, we still enjoy communion with each other. So thank you, Father, for the life and the friendship of John MacArthur.
If we will have ears to hear, I believe there's much for us to ponder. Christ is the centerpiece. Jesus is the one around whom we all gather. And yeah, we do it with various shades of polity, secondary doctrines. But when we come together and our master is the Lord Jesus Christ, there should be sweetness, there should be fellowship, not acrimony and backbiting and canceling. My entire Christian life has been one of theological precision and necessity. It's what I dig. And I've studied the issue of ecumenism because I'm one of those individuals who would say, I'm not even going to go onto a platform at a pro-life rally and share it with somebody with whom I do not share the essentials. That's where my ecumenical lines are drawn. I'm further right on the issue than I suspect many people are. And I share that because responding to what we saw at the MacArthur Memorial, it stretches me, challenges me. I like lines. I like clean lines and black and white separation. Don't need to think about them. Don't need to deal with them. They're out of here. That's my bent. But I think the MacArthur Memorial should cause all of us to consider our bents. Will we or will we not be a people that loves one another, fellowships with one another, communes with one another, delights in the Lord Jesus Christ with one another because he is the centerpiece of our faith. And his prayer to the Father was that we would have unity. Yes, it must be biblical. It must be orthodox. But unity, it must be. That's our challenge, courtesy of John MacArthur. Perhaps his last parting gift to us. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.